So let's pray for and the students that are going back to school. It's a big schedule adjustment for them too, coming off the summer. I know it is for my children, sleeping in and all that stuff. So let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you care for our children. You care for our teachers, administrators, bus drivers, custodians, cafeteria workers, anybody that has anything to do with our children's education, God. God, I pray that this would be a week of great pleasure and joy and anticipation, expectation of the start of a great year of learning and enrichment, God. I pray that you would bless each and every person that is stepping foot into school this week. God, I pray that you'd give them peace. You would give them joy and love, God. And I pray for the students, Lord, that are heading back to school. God, I pray they go in with an attitude of readiness and expectation to learn and get their education so they can be smart and make good decisions in life. God, I thank you for, even though you're not necessarily forwardly invited into the schools, God, I know that you can push your way in. I know that you're there. I know that you're always there and you're always around. So God, I pray that you would take residence in our schools, on our school buses, in our administration buildings. God, take residence where you need to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can't believe it's already school time. That's crazy. Summer went by fast. Here we are coming into fall. Who likes fall? I like the fall time, not only because of football, because we get a break in the weather. I'm not a huge fan of 90-degree humid days. I like the 60s, 70s. The leaves are beautiful and all that. You know, as a child, I can remember my parents always telling me to share. Anybody else learn that as a young age? Share. Share this, share that. As a parent, now it's my turn to constantly remind my children to share. It's something that we're taught and expected to do at a very young age. And it's one of the hardest things for a person to do, honestly, is to share. The very common phrases in my house is, it's mine, I want it all, and a very close third is, get your own. Why do you think it's so important to reinforce this generous attitude so young? I'll tell you why. Because it's our human nature. We're human, right? We have a human nature. It's our human nature to want to keep everything for ourselves. So we can be comfortable, so we can be happy, so we can have joy. And our culture tells us the more things we have, the happier we're going to be, right? There are many reasons why we don't want to share material things. There is one reason, big reason, why we refrain from sharing spiritual things. And that's fear. Today we're going to find out how we can conquer fear and share the love of God with everyone around us. This morning I have titled this message, it's actually a question. What are you scared of? That's the question we're going to answer this morning. What are you scared of? Raise your hand if you've seen the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks. Some of you younger people might not have seen it. But in this movie, he has a plane that goes down in the ocean. He's the only person on the plane that survives. He gets washed up on a deserted island. In the early days, he survived on eating coconuts and small clams. But there is one thing that makes things better. There's one thing that would make a huge difference in his life, but he just couldn't make it happen. After dozens of attempts, he couldn't make it happen until finally this. Let's watch this clip.
The air cut to it!
now he has fire. He can cook his food. He can warm his body. He can bring light into the darkness. He can use it as a signal for help. He can use the fire to cauterize wounds. Fire helps combat the fear of being alone. Each of us have a fire burning on the inside of us. Some of us are raging, some of us are a spark. But regardless of what it looks like, each of us will be able to walk out of here today with a better grip on what we have inside of us and how we can share it with others. For our text today, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to begin to read with verse 6. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Let's pray for God's word today. God, I thank you for preparing this place. You were here far before we were. You had a plan for this day far before we even knew it was coming. So God, let us be in a place that's receptive and open to you. Remove any agenda that I have, God, anything that I have preconceived in my heart, God, and replace it with your heart for your people. Speak through me today, God, so that your people can walk out of here ablaze on fire, ready to share about the good news of Jesus Christ. God, we make space for you in our hearts. We make space for you in our lives. Let our ears be attentive and our heart be open. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So first we have to understand, like I said earlier, fear is a natural human emotion. It's just natural to be afraid. Fear will do its best to snuff out the fire that God has placed inside of us. I found this article recently of the top 10 strong human fears. These are the top fears showed by everybody everywhere. Number 10, losing your freedom. Number 9, the unknown. Number 8, pain. 7 is disappointment. 6, misery. 5, loneliness. 4, ridicule. 3, rejection. 2, death. And 1, the number one fear is failure. Many of these fears are tied together, such as death and the unknown, rejection and ridicule, pain and misery. But we can also observe that these fears best describe an inner condition of our heart. Then I found a Gallup poll answering the question of what Americans fear the most. And many of us can relate to these fears. These are fears on the outside, not the inside. Number 1 is snakes. Number 2, see some head shaking going on. Number 2 is public speaking. 3 is heights. 4 is being closed in small spaces. 5 is spiders. 6 is needles or getting shots. 7 is mice. My wife's very scared of those. 8 is flying on a plane. 9 is dogs. I'm afraid of dogs that I don't know, just to be transparent. 10 is thunder and lightning. 11 is going to the doctor, and 12 is the dark. Got one brave soul that's proud to admit that she's scared of the dark. We all have our fears, right? Like, we can sit here and act like we don't have fears, but we all have some fears. I'm not going to act like I don't. I do. I don't like snakes. I don't like being closed in small spaces. I don't like dogs. It's just basic human nature to fear. Our list won't be the same, though. Like, when I said snakes, I saw my grandmother, like, snakes, they keep the mice away. Who cares? You know, like, we all have a different list of fears. I'm not surprised that on the first list that the fear of failure comes in number 1. We all want to succeed. None of us want to be a failure. We don't want to be remembered. We don't want to feel like we've wasted our short time here on planet Earth. So we're scared that we might fail. But somewhere in our thinking, God has to fit into our equation of the way we operate and the way we think. There must be a reason that the Bible tells us in various ways, in various places, to fear not or don't be afraid. Hundreds of times. It's a basic human emotion, but God keeps telling us, fear not, don't be afraid. How many times, you may ask, does God say this in the Bible? 365 times. It says, fear not, or don't be afraid. Do you think that's a coincidence? That God has one of those phrases for us for every day of the year, every day of our life. 365 times he says to fear not. What do you do when fear seems to be winning your day? What if you pray to God and God hasn't come through for you? If you're like most people, you begin to lose hope and wonder why you bothered to pray in the first place. Deep in the soil of our hearts, little seeds of doubt take root, growing up into a harvest of frustration and anger. It happens to most of us eventually. Some of the best women and men in the Bible struggled with their inner doubts when their dreams didn't come true. Since fear is a natural human emotion, we must depend on God's supernatural abilities to overcome fear. It's nothing that we can do on our own, but it's something that God has placed inside of us. Number two point I want to make is the Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome fear. Romans 12:2 says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. As we allow God to transform the way we think, we open ourselves up to take on the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Do you think God has any fears? No. God does not fear. This has to be more than external transformation. We can walk around this life and pretend that we have it all together and pretend that we're transformed on the outside. But truly, on the inside is the only thing that really matters. We have to look at our heart. Can we get to a place where we aren't just going through the motions on the outside to appear like we're transformed? That we're not just saying, hey, we've been transformed. Hey, God has transformed me. But our heart is truly postured in a way that's being transformed. This is the problem with being transformed in our culture. Our culture tells us that as long as you look good, you look right, you look like you have it all together, you're okay. That's contrary to what God's word says. God's word says your heart must be purified, your heart must be clean, your heart must repent, your heart must be transformed. So it really doesn't matter what people see on the outside. The only thing that matters is what God's doing on the inside. We see that in 1 Samuel 16:7. People judge by outward appearance, but where does the Lord look? He looks on the heart. There's a scripture somewhere that I read earlier. I'm not going to try to quote where it is, but it's in there, I promise. Where people are talking to Jesus or at the throne or something, and he's like, I never knew you. They want to go to heaven, but he said, I never knew you. Your heart was far removed from me. I don't want to be that. I don't want to get to heaven and get told, I'm sorry. Your heart was far from me. We have to allow God to transform our heart. Who are we here to please? God. And who will help us out the most in life? God. Man will always fail along the line somewhere. It might be all cookies and cream for a while, but man will always fail us. We have shortcomings. We fall short. It's just the nature of who we are. God never will. He just never will. It's not in his character to fail us. It's just not. But man, you put your hope in man, you'll get disappointed every time eventually. I promise. And then that's when the enemy's like, oh, there's me an open door. There's a seed that I can plant. Let's see what we can harvest there. But God never fails us. God desires for us to live free from fear. He desires for us to be like Him, talk like Him, and act like Him. God's goal for all of human nature is to transform us to be more like His Son, Jesus. That's what He wants. That's His desire, to have a bunch of Jesus-like people walking around this world so we can change it. And fear is the biggest thing that's standing in our way. Fear of what people will think of us. Fear of people, what might, people might say about us. Fear about how they might think about us. Fear about what they're going to tell Sally and Joe. But it really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is we're letting God transform our heart so we can be more like Christ and share His love with those around us. Being a follower of Jesus means much more than just coming here to church and trying to live a good life. It means allowing the Holy Spirit to change you. Here's one verse which Paul talks about God transforming us in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. As we allow God to transform us into His image, there is no place for fear. Where the Spirit of the Lord is in us, there is no place for fear, only freedom. Freedom replaces fear. We are set free through the Holy Spirit. The most significant work we can do as Christians is allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. In Zechariah 4:6, we read this. Then He said to me, "This is what the Lord says. It is not by force nor by strength, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of the heavenly armies." This is our life, people. This is our life. By the Spirit of God, we are transformed into the likeness and very image of Jesus Christ. Amen. What better thing can you ask for in life than to walk around being like Christ? No amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of anything, material, non-material, whatever it is, can compare to walking a life transformed by the Holy Spirit, walking around this earth looking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, and talking like Jesus. You want to have significance? This is where it happens, when we allow God to transform our hearts and to be more like Jesus Christ. When we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, not only can we overcome fear, but we can overcome the negative emotions that come with fear. Anger, bitterness, hate. These things that come in with fear, these side emotions that come in, the Holy Spirit can give us breakthrough everywhere. We have an understanding that fear is a natural emotion. We understand that we can get breakthrough through the Holy Spirit. Now what do we do since we're free? What do we do now? Breakthrough frees you and I to share. John 14:12 says this, "Verily, verily, I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." You know, these are the words of Jesus. He's saying, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving My people. I'm giving them something that's going to empower them to do greater things than even I did when I was here. Does anybody want some of that? Is it just me? That is amazing. Like, I can imagine an heir, a natural human heir to a kingdom. They're not giving away more than they got. They're going to hold on to some stuff. They're going to bury it, hide it, keep it for the next generation. Jesus is like, uh-uh. I'm leaving. You're going to do more than Me. You're going to be greater than Me. You're going to do better things than Me. How humble is that? How humble is that for God to walk this earth and leave and say, I did this, but I believe that you're going to do bigger and greater. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that thinking. You know, that scripture says God's thoughts are above our thoughts, his ways above our ways. That's one of them.
Yeah.
That's one of those things I'm like, really? You believe in me enough to say that I, as long as I posture myself in your spirit and allow you to transform me, that you can do greater things than Jesus did when he walked on this earth? You know that emoji? Mind blown. Here's my heart. We need to share what God has done in our life. I'm not necessarily saying you have to get up on a soapbox and repeat scripture and memorize scripture and beat people down with scripture. That's part of it, but that's not the point. The point is God has transformed our lives in many ways. Your testimony is different from mine. The things he's done in your life is different than mine. But he's done something in all of our lives. Can we agree on that? Whatever he's done in your life can bring him glory. That thing that he delivered you from, you share that with others, you can bring him glory. When he saved you from death, you can bring him glory. When he rescued you out of something, you share that, you can give him glory. This is sharing your life with people is evangelism. Sharing the things that God has done in your heart is a big deal. It doesn't have to be in Genesis chapter 1. Let me share. People don't want that. People want to know what God has done in your heart. They want to know the relevant things that God has done in your heart that they too deal with, number one, and they can relate with. This is sharing. Like I said earlier, people judge by the outward appearance. God judges in the heart. I'm not trying to put pressure on you here, but what if you're the one that God is working through to leave the 99 to reach the one? What if you sharing that story is the place that God is leaving the 99 to reach the one? If we can think about this in our everyday life, is this ordained by God? This moment, this time? If you have that thought, if you have that thing in your belly, that unction in your mind, like, God, is that you? It probably is. And you probably should say something. And you probably should speak out. Because it's in those moments of obedience and sharing that more freedom comes in our heart. More excitement comes in our heart. More faith comes in our heart. Because when we're verbal about what God's doing in our heart, not only is it building the faith of those around us, but it's building our faith a little bit too, right? We learned that from David. He rehearsed his victories. Why? To build his faith. So he could walk strong and courageous. So he could understand that he has nothing to fear. That he has power and love and a sound mind in his brain, in his heart. That same posture of David's heart is right at our fingertips. Like, it's right there at the edge of our heart, and God's just, he's just crying out for us to allow him and the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to transform us so we can share our life with others and bring glory to his name. Can I get an amen? Are y'all tracking with me here? We have fear. It's natural. Just like we're a natural human, we make mistakes. But we have power of the Holy Spirit to overcome that fear. It's not something we have to walk in. We don't have to be bound by fear. We don't have to be afraid. That's not God's heart for us to be bound and tied down by anything. I'm not saying that, like, all right. So the list of things that we're scared of, mice, snakes, and stuff, like, can God deliver you from those fears? Yeah, but that's not really what I'm saying. It's more the internal fears of failure and death and the unknown and whatever it might be. The things on the outside, you might still be scared of those. I don't know. God can deliver you from those things, but I'm not going to guarantee you that he will. But he will deliver you from the internal fears. He will. It's his nature. That's what he'll do. Sometimes he works through us to draw others in. Every single one of us in this room has a unique story to share. It's unique to you. God only gave it to you. There's no other story like yours in this whole world. 9 billion people, there's no other story like yours. That's crazy. God's writing all those stories. How does he keep that together? He's God. We all have different experiences that have brought us where we are today. Some bad, some really good. But God uses them all. He uses them all. I want you to take a moment right now, just close your eyes, and reflect on where you come from. Reflect on where God's, where the, your first interaction with God was to where you are now. Reflect on every moment you might say, by the grace of God, or I shouldn't be alive. Reflect on those things. These are all God moments that you can share with people. All those little things in your life you look back on and say, I shouldn't have made it through that. Or I should be here, or I should have went there. But God rerouted your story. You might not have saw it in the moment, but God rerouted your story. I'll share one with you, personally for me. By the grace of God, I am alive. I bought a street bike at the age of 18. 18, and did a lot of really foolish things. Thanks for that word, Dusty. I was going to say something to the kitchen here. Foolish things. But my best friend at the time, he doesn't have the same outcome as me. Foolish things that we were doing, he lost his life in a motorcycle accident. I was riding with him that day. If I'd have been riding my own bike, I'd have probably been doing this foolish things too. But I was riding a friend's bike, so I wasn't doing foolish things because it wasn't my property. On that day, God spared my life. Plain and simple. Don't know why, but it's part of my story. It's part of, by the grace of God, I'm here today. By the grace of God, I'm here today and have a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. Because it could have been a totally different story for me 22 years ago. Could have been totally different. I had all kinds of questions after that day. All kinds. But that's a different message for a different day about all those questions. I'd love to talk to any of you about it if you want. The point I'm trying to make is this. God has written a story of your life. And the story of your life, the purpose of it is to bring him glory. The purpose of the story of your life is to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. The purpose and why you're here today is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. The purpose of why God got you through that rut of life, that depression, oppression, whatever it is because he wants you to bring glory to his name. I'm going to give you four reasons why we need to allow ourselves to share what God has done in our lives. Number one is to spread his fame. It's to make him famous in this world. That's all that matters, is to make him famous in this world. Because he's the answer to all the depression, all the lost hope, all the oppression. He is the answer. We share about him to bring him fame. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says this, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. It's not about us. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let there be light in darkness, has made the light shine in our hearts so we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Number two reason we share about God's goodness is to give hope to others. We have what everybody needs. We have the fix. Everybody's looking for a fix. We have it, and it's Jesus Christ. Paul talked about it in Ephesians 2, without hope and without God in the world, reminds them that we were once without hope. He reminds the church of Ephesus that they were once without hope, and they were once without God. And later on he says, we were once dead in our transgressions and sin, but we're not there anymore because we found Jesus. But God, full of love and mercy, reached out and brought them new life in Jesus. When we share our testimony, we offer hope that only can only be found in Jesus. That's it. Number three, because we are God's spokespeople. Like I read it in John earlier, even greater things he's going to do through us. We have been placed here to be a spokespeople for Jesus Christ. Like, we are all ordained for that. We are his children, and he's placed us in our jobs, in our wherever we are every day, retirement, whatever it might be. We're there because we're God's spokespeople, and we're there for an ordained purpose. 2 Corinthians 5 says this later in 2 Corinthians 5. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What would happen in your daily life if before you walked out the door you said, I'm God's ambassador? We are God's spokespeople wherever we are. And number four, point while we share, to increase everyone's joy. I mean, don't we need some joy in our world? Isn't there enough stuff to make us sad and sappy? I mean, can we smile some and have fun and laugh? This comes with a relationship with Jesus. The author of 1 John says this, we write this to make our joy complete. Not only did talking about Jesus bring him joy, but so did the anticipation that others would share in the joy of knowing Jesus. Not only do we get the joy, but we get to anticipate the joy that others will experience when we share Jesus with them. My dad is the perfect example of that, sharing the gospel. Like, we all need some of that. We all need that anticipation that the joy that we experience, the happiness and peace that we have, is ready to be shared with the person that's next to us, or the person that we work with, or the family member that needs Jesus. Like, it's an anticipation of the happiness that we're already experiencing. There's no pressure in that. Just share the joy of Christ with people. Who do you want to experience this joy? Who in your life needs some of this joy? Let's recap. Fear is a natural human emotion, right? We understand that. The Holy Spirit can and will transform our heart. And once our heart has been transformed, we should share the transformation with others. You may be here today and not have a relationship with Jesus. You don't have to go another moment without that. You can have that today. If that's you, I'm going to give you an invitation in just a moment. You may be here and ready for a transformation impartation from Holy Spirit. He is here and ready to impart a fire into your heart. We're going to close the service a little different today. We're going to sing a worship song together. We're going to sing Refiner once again in just a moment. Eli, if you can get that queued up. Do you need a relationship with Jesus? Do you need to get a flame ignited in your heart? Do you need to have the fire in your heart fanned? Whatever it is, whatever you need today, God is faithful. He's faithful. He'll give you exactly what you need. He won't give you more. He won't give you less. He'll give you exactly what you need for today. So if y'all stand with me as we sing this song together, allow God to speak to your heart. Allow God to posture your heart in a place that you need today, and I'll be back up to close after.